ברשות הרב שליטה, and ברשות all the people who came together and gave from their time to be mechazek themselves the day before Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah tells us, Mesechtes Kelim, that every creature that's found in the water is not mekabel tuma. Water has a koyach of tahara. It doesn't get tuma. There is one creature in the water that the Mishnah tells us that does get tuma. Which creature is that? Kelev yam. Why does the kelev yam get tuma? Why isn't it called a creature of the yam? Why is it called a creature of the yabosha, of land? Because be'eis tzara, when it feels that it's in danger, it runs to the land, and it goes away from the water. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Chachamim saw in this Mishnah a beautiful lesson. If I want to test where a person belongs, does he belong to the street? Does he belong to the outside world? Or is he connected with the Beira Elam? Is he connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is the testing point? The testing point is, where does a person run when he feels in danger? Where does he come when he needs something? Where does a Yid run when he feels that he's in danger? Everyone knows. We run to Beit HaMedrash. We run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We run to say a capital Tillim. We run to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We run to Tefillah. That is why, where do we belong? Where is our place? Where do we connect ourselves? In Beit HaMedrash, that's where we connect ourselves. And that's where we belong. And if we see that in the middle of the night, people come together, leave their houses, for what? Just to hear a few words of Chizuk before Tisha B'Av. That means that that's where you belong. This is your place. Ashreichem, that you found a place in a Beis Medrash. That this is your life. This is where you feel connected. Let me tell you a very simple mashal. Person came, somebody that didn't know from civilization. Somebody grew up not knowing from electrical appliances. He walks into a big store and they tell him that there is an appliance. Here I could sell you an electrical appliance that you could use it to broil chicken on it. Oh, very good. He goes and he buys it. He comes home and he puts on the chicken. It doesn't work. He tries again and he tries again. Doesn't work. He comes back to the store all angry. And he tells the owner, you sold me something that doesn't work. How did you do such a thing? The owner takes it out. There's nothing wrong with it. He asks the person, did you plug it in? And the person says, no, where do you have to plug it in? What do you have to plug in? And he told him, it's an electrical appliance. If you don't plug it into the wall, it's not going to work. We are going to come after 120 years. We are going to come lamayla to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are going to be asked a long list of questions. Many questions. We are going to be asked everything that we did in our lifetime. And we are going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we didn't know anything. We didn't know how it works. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask you a very simple question. Did you plug yourself in where you have to be plugged in or not? If a person is plugged into a Beis HaKnesses, a person is plugged into a community, then he has life. He's plugged into a community, he lives. The community gives him life. The community teaches him what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, what a person has to do. But if he never plugs himself into a Beit HaMedrash, he never plugs himself into Torah HaKadosha, then he has no idea what is right and what is wrong. and will come up after 120, and HaKadosh Baruch will ask him questions, and he'll say, I didn't know. He will be asked a very simple question. Did you plug yourself in, or did you not plug yourself in? Did you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or did you not live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Did you realize what you have to do, or did you not realize what you have to do? Tomorrow night is Tisha B'Av, a day of mourning, a day that we mourn the Beit HaMikdash. Why is it that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, our fathers, forefathers, were able to sit down on the floor on Tisha B'Av and cry? Simply cry! Cry over the Beit HaMikdash that we don't have anymore. And why is it that we can't associate ourselves with this day? Why is it that it's so hard for us to shed a tear when it comes to Tisha B'Av? Why can't we cry? What is wrong with us that we can't cry? If this is a day that we are supposed to mourn the Beis HaMikdash, a day that we have to mourn that we are still in Galut, why is it that we can't cry and we can't mourn? Why is it that we feel that we have no connection to this day? It's very simple. Very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Galut. But He didn't leave us alone. He didn't send us into Galut without any help. Let us ask a simple question. A question that every one of you should ask themselves. If there would be a king, a prime minister, a president, that would send soldiers into a war, and he wouldn't give them any ammunition, what would we call him? What would we call him? Nobody would call him a normal person. We would have a long list of names for such a prime minister, for such a president, for such a leader. We have a Ribbono Shel Olam who we know is Avinu of Arachamon. We have a Ribbono Shel Olam who we know is our father. A Ribbono Shel Olam who we know loves every single Yid. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took our neshamot and sent them down onto this world. A very hard world. Nobody can stand here and tell you that it's easy to face the trials and tribulations of today's street. Nobody can say that. But can we imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to this world without ammunition? Is it possible to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent our neshamot down to this world and told us, go into this degraded world, go into this immoral world, go into this world that screams, come and do Averot, and stand and fight the war, and I gave you no ammunition, I didn't give you anything to fight the war with? Is it possible? Is it possible to be choshed, to have a doubt that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us? It must be that we do have ammunition. It must be that we have with what to fight. You know what we have with what to fight? He gave us something very strong with what to fight. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu burnt the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal tell us, he sent a malach from Shemayim, to go down onto this world and take stones from the Beit HaMikdash and throw a stone all over the world wherever there will be a Beit HaKnesses or a Beit HaMidrash. Wherever there will be built a kosher Beit HaKnesses or a kosher Beit HaMidrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent in the year of Churban HaMikdash a malach. In this place, here in Queens, here in Great Neck, when at that point in time it was a forest, nobody lived there. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a malach here on this place and threw down a small stone of the Beis HaMikdash that we should be able to connect ourselves to that Kiddushah, to that holiness that there was in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Chazal tell us. And we believe everything that Chazal tell us as absolute truth. Absolute truth. And we come here, and we come here to tefillah, and we come, what do Chazal tell us? What is it here? A Beit Mikdash Ma'at. It's a small Beit HaMikdash. It's our connection to the Beit HaMikdash that was once upon a time. We connect ourselves. We come in here and we feel a different world. In today's day and age, every invention that there is in technology is for us to learn something. Everybody knows the Chofetz Chaim. When they came out in the time of the Chofetz Chaim, the first invention, a phonograph. What was a phonograph? A record. And there was a machine that could play back what it said on the record. And the Chofetz Chaim saw it. And the Chofetz Chaim said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring this invention at this point in time? Because the emunah of Jews became less. And we have to live within a clear belief that when we come up after 120 years, we will be shown and we will be able to hear every word we spoke, every move we made. And suddenly the generations lost their connection. We have to be reminded that it's possible. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu bought a phonograph. Oh, you could play back. And then suddenly there was a telegraph and a telephone. And the Chofetz Chaim said, you know why there's a telephone? That because when you talk here, we hear over there. So you should be able to see it for your eyes. You should be able to believe. You should be able to know that everything that you say here could be heard above. And you should believe clearly that it is that way. And then as the generations got weaker and weaker, and the trials and tribulations became greater and greater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Avinu Abba Rachamon, our Father in Shemayim, came to help us more. And he took a beautiful invention, a spaceship. An invention, a person can come from this world and go up and be up in a spaceship, and he could live for days without having the atmosphere of this world. How? You take with air from here, and you take with the atmosphere from here, and you transport it to a different world, and you could live there. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring that? For what? For who? Who needs it? We need it. We needed to learn, how do we exist in this world, in this degraded world? How do we go out into the streets and not be pulled by the atmosphere that's around us? We could live as space. We could take with atmosphere from somewhere else. When a person walks into a Beit HaKnesses in the morning and he's mispalel shachris, he takes with him ear to live a whole day. He takes with him ear, which he carries with him a whole day. He carries with him the atmosphere that he took in the morning. He carries with him for the rest of the day. And he lives the rest of the day in a different atmosphere. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize. We have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to connect ourselves. We have to plug ourselves in. We have to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to live connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we disconnect ourselves, imagine what happens to a person in space when he disconnects himself. He's left with any air, without any oxygen. We as Jews need a different oxygen. Our oxygen is not enough, the oxygen of breathing the air outside. The air outside is contaminated. How long? Let me ask you a very simple question. How long does it take for a piece of food to be contaminated by salmonella poisoning? A test was made. Salmonella poisoning transfers over to a piece of food in less than a few seconds. Many of us, I'm not saying anybody, I'm saying us, I'm talking about myself, I'm just talking loud so all of you could hear. But all that I'm talking to myself, that I should be mushpa for what I'm talking about. All of us know what it means, a 5-minute fling. All of us knows what it means. It's only a 5 minute fling away from Yiddishkeit, a 5 minute break, a flirt here, a flirt there. 5 minutes, what's 5 minutes? 5 minutes is enough to be poisoned for life. 5 minutes is enough for salmonella poisoning to transfer from food to food. 5 minutes is enough to poison our neshamas. It doesn't take a day, it doesn't take a week, it doesn't take a month to become poisoned. A 5 minute fling could poison us for life. We have to be connected 24/7. It's not enough to connect minutes. Connected means connected at all points, at all time. Connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Living a different life. Realizing who we are. Many of us are burdened. Yiddishkeit has in it sometimes an impression that it's a burden. There are so many laws, so many restrictions. The Gemara tells us, in Masechtes Gittin, the Gemara tells us about Churban HaMikdash. And the Gemara tells us that Titus HaRasha, the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, had a sister. And his sister had a son that was called Unkelis. And Unkelis wanted to become a Yid. And he went and brought down with Kishuf, he brought down Titus, and he asked him, should I become a Yid or should I not become a Yid? And Titus told him, the laws of Judaism are too much, you will not be able to be Mekayim them. They are too burdensome. We all have that Titus within ourselves at points in time. And we also think sometimes, the laws of Judaism are too burdensome, they're too restrictive. Here they tell me where I can't go, and here they tell me what I can't dress, and here they tell me what I can't talk, and here they tell me what I can't think, and here they tell me what I can't read, here they tell me what I can't eat. It's very restrictive. Depends how we look at Yiddishkeit. Depends how we look at Judaism. Depends how we look at it. We all know that we are the chosen people. We all know that we are the chosen people. What does it mean we are the chosen people? What does it mean we are chosen? What does it mean we were chosen? What does that mean? Let us look at ourselves. And let me tell you a very simple marshal, a very simple parable, which everybody from a little child to the oldest of us can associate with. A prince walked out of the palace and he went for a walk. He was a 5-year-old prince, but he was wearing princely clothes, the way a prince is supposed to go dressed. He walks down the street, and he walks through the city, and a pauper, walks over to him and tells him, come with me, I want to play with you. There's a sandbox here, and we can go sit in the sand, 5-year-old children, sit in the sand, pour some water and build castles. Let's play, let's have a good time. And the prince says, don't you see that I'm a prince? Don't you see that I can't play with dirt? I'm a prince. A prince doesn't play with dirt. And the pauper says, and the peasant says, a deprived child, he can't play with dirt. Who's right and who's wrong? Who's right and who's wrong? The prince is right or the peasant is right? There isn't anybody that thinks that the peasant is right, that is deprived. Everybody knows the prince, he's a prince, he's a child of the Melech. Rabbi Isai, I want you to listen to me clearly. The Goyisha world out there with all their technology, with all their enjoyment, are the peasants of the world. We, every single one of you sitting here, are the princes and the princesses of the world. We are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah HaKadosha writes in Parshas Re'eh, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single Yid from the day he is born to the day he goes from this world, every single girl from the day she is born to the day she departs from this world is a prince or a princess. A prince and a princess is never deprived. A prince and a princess is never missing anything. A prince and a princess is the happiest person on the world because he's close to the Melech. There's no such thing that we are restricted. There's no such thing as that we are deprived not to do this and not to do that and not to eat this and not to eat that and not to go here and not to do this. It's not we are deprived. We are not lower. We are higher than everybody else. We stand higher than everybody else. We stand on a much higher level than anybody else. If we will start looking at ourselves as a prince, we will start looking at ourselves in the right light. We will understand who we are and what we are. Then nothing will bother us. Nothing will be missing. We will be the happiest people on the world. Everything. Your whole atzlocha. Your whole atzlocha in life is dependent on the way you look at it. If you look at it as a schia, you look at it as the greatest thing that happened to me. I'm a Yid. I belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a child of the Melech, Malach HaMelachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then your life is the best life that could be. And you're the happiest person. You're Molei Simcha. But if you look at your life as I'm restricted, I don't know why I can't do this, I don't know why I can't do this, then it's a terrible situation. What was the Beis HaMikdash? What was the Beis HaMikdash? What happened to a Yid when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash? Let us imagine. Let us start imagining what the Beis HaMikdash was. Let us try to take ourselves out of this world that we're in, and let us try to elevate ourselves to a different world. Let us try to imagine what happened to a Yid when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. A Yid walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Let us take a simple case. A Yid walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and he walked into the Beis HaMikdash, and he had with him a goat. A goat! And he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen comes over to him and asks him, "What is this goat that you're bringing me here? Why are you bringing me a goat?" And he says, "Last Shabbat, I by mistake was reading a Chumash Friday night, and the light wasn't so good, and I moved the candle, and I made a fire on Shabbos because I moved the candle closer to the Shemen, and it started to fight, the light flickered higher, so I was over a Malacha Deraisa, so I have to bring a korban, so I brought here a goat." First, imagine this situation. Walking in, this is full of people, and the Kohen asks him, "Excuse me, what is this goat?" And he has to say, "I did this, I did the following, I did this Aveira, and I was a Shoigig." "Oh, you were a Shoigig? Maybe not, maybe you knew what you were doing?" "No, I didn't know what I was doing." And half of the people probably answered, "They did know what they were doing." "Oh, so you're not a Shoigig, so you're amazed. You can't bring a carbon. It's not so simple." And the Kohen asks him, "Did you do tshuva yet? Did you repent yet?" And the Kohen goes and tells the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, start playing Shira. And the Levim were able to play Shira that touched the heart. Not today's rock music that you're not allowed to listen to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about music that touched the heart, that woke up the Neshama, not that woke up the Yetzirah. Not in the music that we listen to that wakes up the Yetzirah. The music that wakes up the heart and wakes up the neshama to waken the neshama. And it awoke the neshama of the Yid, and the Yid starts to cry in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. The Levim took him, and they played nigunim, and they touched his heart, and they picked him up a little bit higher, and a little bit higher, and the Yid suddenly became so malei repentance. He suddenly felt what he did wrong. And he brought a korban, and he took the goat. He put both hands on the goat, and he said, "Vidui." And what did he say, "Vidui"? What did he say when he went on the goat? You know what he said? "Ribbono shel olam, I really don't deserve to live anymore. I really deserve that I should be the one that goes on the Mizbeach and not the goat should go on to the Mizbeach. Why? Because I did an Aveira and it doesn't pay. Lama lichayim. Why should I live anymore after I did something wrong? That's till where he elevated himself. He realized it doesn't pay to go on anymore. Life is over. I did something wrong. No. You can bring a carbon. The carbon will go instead of you. And the person went out a different person from the Beis HaMikdash. Can we imagine such a life? Can we imagine what it means living like that? Can we imagine the difference of our life and that life? Could you imagine how much easier it would be to connect ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much better we would live if we would have a Beis HaMikdash? How much higher we would live if we would have a Beis HaMikdash? How the Beis HaMikdash would catch us much earlier before we fall. What is our problem? What is our problem? What is our problem? Let me tell you a very big secret. Let me tell you a very big secret of the Yetzer Hara. Let me tell you a very, very big secret of the Yetzer Hara. A secret that I can tell you because there was somebody 150 years ago whose Yahrzeit is Tisha B'Av was Megala of this secret. The seer of the Lublin, the Chayza of Lublin was Megala of this secret. He told us, the Yetzer Hara does not need your Aveira. The Yetzer Hara is not interested in your going and doing an Aveira. That's not what he wants. That's not so important by him. You know what he needs? He needs something else completely. He needs you to do the Aveira, because after you do the Aveira, you suddenly fall into despondence, into Yiyush, and you give up hope, and you throw the whole Yiddishkeit out the window. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the Aveira. He wants you to give up after you do the Aveira, because that's where he catches you. Because once you give up, then he can take you all the way down the drain. He can take you all the way into Shoel Tachtis. He could drive you all the way down the drain. Because giving up is the worst thing that there is. Picking up your hands and giving up is the worst thing that there is. But we have nothing to be mechazik ourselves. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, we ran to the Beis HaMikdash after we fell. And the Beis HaMikdash, we came to a Kayin, into a Beis HaMikdash, and to the Beira Olam. We went into the Beis HaMikdash. We saw with our own eyes that there is a Beira Olam on the world. Could you imagine walking into a place and it's pouring outside? It's pouring outside. The Beis HaMikdash didn't have a roof. It's pouring outside. And there is a Mizbeach. And there's fire on the Mizbeach. And the fire is burning. And the water doesn't touch it. It says in the Gemara that happened every single day. Every single day this Ness happened to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'll tell you a better Ness. They'll impress you more. That came from the fire, goes up an Oshon. That goes up smoke. The Oshon went up in a straight line. And there came winds. The Oshon didn't move. Every single day in Beis HaMikdash, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, you saw in front of your eyes, there's a Beir Olam on the world, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the world. I can promise you, every single person sitting here, if he would see or she would see that there's a Beir Olam on the world, we would all be 100% better. 100% better. There's nobody in this room that would know that clearly and believe clearly that he's standing in front of the Beirei Olam. He's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he would do something wrong. There's nobody in this room that would do it. We all forget that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all forget. We live a dual life. We forget. We live in a world that we forget what we're doing. But if we would see with our eyes there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much better would we be? How much nicer would we be? How much better would we dress? How much better would we act? We would elevate our lives to such a height. Well, you're not impressed with this Ness. Let us look at other Nisim that happened. 3 times a year, every single person went up to be Oyler Regal. He went up to be Oyler Regal. He left at home. He left at home in his backyard. He left at home sheep. For at least 3 weeks, a week to go up, a week he was in Beis HaMikdash, a week to come back, 3 weeks, he left his sheep at home, he left his fields. Next door lived a goy. Chazal tells us, the Torah Kedoshah tells us, nobody's going to take anything away from you. You could go up to be Oyle Regel, you'll come back, you'll find your sheep, you'll find everything in the best of everything. Nobody's going to touch anything. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine living like that? Seeing that with your own eyes? Let's go further. Ayid came to be Oyle Regel. Ayid came to be Oyle Regel in the Beis HaMikdash. Came Shabbos Kedish. You know what happened on Shabbos in Oyle Regel? In the Beis HaMikdash, there was something called the Lechem Aponim. What was the Lechem Aponim? In the Beis HaMikdash, there was 12 breads that were on a Shulchan. And on Shabbos, they changed it. They brought another 12 breads. They took off these 12 and they gave it to the Kohenim to eat. And in the 12, it stayed on the Shulchan 8 days, from Shabbos to Shabbos. 8 days, 7 days, 8 days. Can you eat a bread that's laying 8 days open? It would be stale. For sure not fresh, for sure not hot. The Pasuk tells us, Chaim b'yayim hilak chai. When they took off the bread, you were able to see the steam coming from it. No technology, no heat bars, nothing. Nisim! L'malo miderech ha-teva! Open nisim! That's what Yid saw when he came into the Beis HaMikdash. He saw it as a bayra olam of the world. Rabbi Isai, all of you can see the Beir Olam on the world. If you walk into a Beis HaMedrash and you learn the Torah Akdesha and you come connected with Torah and Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will all feel and know that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this world. We will all change our lives if we connect ourselves. And if we connect ourselves, the more we will connect ourselves, the more we will realize that there is something missing in our lives, and the more we will be able to cry tomorrow night. The reason why our fathers and forefathers and great-grandfathers were able to sit on the floor all of Tisha B'Av and cry and cry and cry and shed tears was because they were connected and they wanted to be more connected. They realized what they were missing. They realized that the Beis HaMikdash is missing in their lives. But if we're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we live a life full of all that the American lifestyle has to offer. We are so occupied with this world. It doesn't go together. Let us read a pasuk in the Torah. Everybody knows Chumash. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam. How does it say this pasuk? How do you write the word Vayitzer? With one yud or with two yudin? It says in the Torah with two. Can you hear both? Impossible. When you say it, you only hear one. You can't read both. It says two, but you can only read one. Chazal tell us, why does it say two yudin? Because every single person here has two yitzirot. He has two times that he was created. He was created his guf, and he was created his neshama. So that's why it says two yudin. The guf and the neshama. But here, you can only one. You can pick which one you want to hear. Either this yud you could hear, or this yud you could hear. You cannot hear both. You can't have dual citizenship. There's no dual citizenship, living this world and living that world. Either you live your neshama or you live your guf. Of course, every person has to do what he has to do. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the lifestyle that America has to offer, the street that America has to offer, to become involved in this world and forget completely who we are and what we are and where we belong and what we have to do. That's what our trials and tribulations are. We all have a question. Every single one of us has this question. If I would give you to ask this question, you would all ask the same question. Why is it that we have to face such bad trials? My father, my grandfather, wherever they lived, weren't exposed to what we are exposed in one day in 70 years of their life. In 70 years of their life, your grandfathers were not exposed to what these children here are exposed in one day. Rahman al-Islam. Why is it? Why do we have to go through that? Why do we have to go through such hard times? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you? Let me tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Let me tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Let me tell you an halacha. Let me give you shock treatment. If somebody passes out, I wouldn't be surprised. There's an halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Something called Kiddush Achama. Does anybody know what Kiddush Achama is? Every 28 years, when the Chama comes back to a certain point, it was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hung the sun the first time, we make a bracha, Kiddush HaChama. When is it? A Wednesday in Nisan, Tkufas Nisan, the first Wednesday in the Tkufa, then we make Kiddush HaChama early in the morning. Probably some of you remember it, some of you don't remember it, but there's Kiddush HaChama. The next time there's Kiddush HaChama is in a year and a half from now. Tavshin Samach Tes. Now, we don't like to talk about Mashiach. It's not our topics. When Mashiach will come, it's not for us to make cheshbonos. But let me tell you what it says in the Sefer. I don't know if the Sefer is here. Me'ein Echachomim is a Sefer from the Heilige Ostrovtze. Tov Reish Pei Hei. Goes back how many years? 80 years ago. There was Kiddush HaChama. And he said the following by Kiddush HaChama. Listen to me clearly. The first time that Kiddush HaChama was on Yud Dalid Nissen, Erev Pesach, the first time that Kiddush HaChama came out on Erev Pesach, on Yud Dalid Nissen, was in the year 2448. Does anybody know what the year 2448 stands for? What happened in 2448? Yitzias Mitzrayim. On Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was Kiddush HaChama. The next time that it came out on Erev Pesach, the second time, and since then, never again, was Erev Pesach, when on Tes Zayin Nissen, Haman HaRasha was hung. The year of Purim. Big Ness. Purim by Sheni, a very big Ness. That year was Erev Pesach, Kiddush HaChama. Two times. We're at which year are we up to? 5,767. It only happened two times. Every 28 years, only two times it came out on Erev Pesach and the Cheshbon Hashana. Rabbi Yisai, in a year and a half, Erev Pesach, Tov Shin Samach Tes, Kiddush HaChama comes out on Erev Pesach. Kiddush HaChama comes out on Erev Pesach. That's what the Ostrovtze said in Tov Reish Pei Hei. I don't think anybody here is ready to face Mashiach Tzidkenu. Do you know what means facing Mashiach? And I'm going to talk very, very bluntly. Nobody here would go dressed the way he is and walk over to Mashiach. Nobody. Not a man and not a woman. That's by me clean, clear. Nobody's ready to go as he is now and walk over to Mashiach and say, here I am. But remember what it says in Pasuk about Mashiach. It says in Pasuk about Mashiach, V'hirichoy b'yiras Hashem. Lo'y b'marei na'im yishpet. Mashiach, it will not be that person that you imagine that can look at you and see all your avers that are within you. No, he doesn't need that. Mashiach will not listen to anybody. Mashiach will stand wherever he will stand and he will smell. Do you know the difference of chush areach, what smelling means? You know from how far you can smell a bad smell? From very far. A Mashiach will say, excuse me, I smell somebody who doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, out of here. V'irichoi b'yiras Hashem. He will smell us, not look at us, not listen to us. V'irichoi b'yiras Hashem. I say it clearly, I don't believe that a year and a half is enough for me to prepare for Mashiach. That I say clearly, I don't know about you. A year and a half is a very, very long time to cleanse ourselves, to cleanse our neshamas, to cleanse ourselves and prepare for Mashiach Tzidkenu. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. You know why we're going to go, be able to see Mashiach? I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Every person knows how great his grandfather was. Every person knows how great his great-grandfather was. Every person knows how much nicer his grandmother was than she is. Why am I going to be zoichet to Mashiach and them not? It's a very good question. It's a very strong question. You know why? Because your grandfather and your grandmother did not have an nisoyon that's called the internet. You know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you very clearly. This is not a joke. This is a very serious matter. Every person in every generation that had to do something wrong had a very easy way to stop himself. Something called busha. He was ashamed. He couldn't do anything himself wrong. Anything that he did wrong, he did with somebody else. The internet is the first time in history that a person could lock himself up in a room, in a dark room. Nobody's there except the Bayrei Elamim. Nobody's with him except HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. And he can go into the depths of Shmutz in 1 minute. That's our Nesoyin, one of our Nesoyins. I can go a long, long way of our Nesiyonis. None of our grandfathers, none of our grandfathers ever in their lives had magazines in their houses that depicted the immorality of the world as our magazines that I hope doesn't come into our houses depict and tell us how to do the immorality of the world and depict for us how to go after all the taivas and all the nesiyonis of the world. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what the magazines of today's day and age are. And we have to go, and our children have to grow up in houses when the mother or the father brings in a magazine that has in it, I can't say in a Mokim Kodesh what it has in it. And the child has to grow up in that house, and you want him to grow up pure, you want him to grow up holy, you want him to grow up knowing that there's a Kodesh Baruch on this world. And still there are children. I spoke here to a child before, and he tells me that he's here alone, and he comes to Davim every day, and he goes to learn every day, and he goes to this Kailal, and he comes at night to go to a shir, and he goes here to go to a shir. In this day and age, there are children that still remember there's a Bayra Olam of this world. No dirt had such a schus. And that is why we are going to be the ones to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. We, those who are Oymed and Nisoyen, those who fight the war, the terrible war that we have, and the ammunition is great. We have a Meirdik ammunition. We have a Besmedrish, we have Svarim, we have a Rabbonim, we have Chavrusis, we have Koilalim, we have everything that we need. Every single person that goes to work knows, in the middle of the day, he has 5 minutes, he could dial a telephone number for free and listen to a shir in any language he wants. In any language, dial a shir. 1,000 shiurim there are for women, for ladies, for girls, for boys, for young boys. Any boy could learn all of Mishnayis. All of Mishnayis he can learn in his house. Every day he dials, he learns a Mishnah day. In the morning, a Mishnah, in the afternoon, a Mishnah at night. He can finish Mishnayis in 2 years without a Rebbe, a telephone. Could you imagine what we have available to us? Of course we have ammunition. We have a lot of ammunition. We have all the ammunition to withstand all the schmutz of the street, all the schmutz of technology. We have the ammunition to become Amisar L'Chayidin. one thing I want. One thing I ask from every single person that's in this room. To take 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes of quiet. Make a Kabbalah. Nothing. One thing I want you to make a Kabbalah. To make a U-turn in your life. To make a U-turn in your life. To change the direction that you are going. To change the direction, Erev Tisha B'Av, let this Kihila Kedosha bring Mashiach. In Zohar HaKadosh it says that if there is a Kihila Kedosha in this world that does tshuva, one Kihila that does tshuva, it will bring Mashiach. We have the ability to bring Mashiach. Tshuva doesn't mean 1 minute I will become good. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's why we fall down. That's why we fall back. Because we want in 1 minute to jump. In 1 minute we can't jump. We can 1 minute throw away what's wrong. Throw out what's wrong. Throw out what's wrong. It takes a minute. But to become good takes a long time. But the U-turn that we have to make. The U-turn that we have to make. The full U-turn. A full 180 degree U-turn. Instead of going down to go up. To take the move in the opposite direction. That we can do tonight, Erev Tisha B'Av. Move in the other direction. Change the direction we move in. Women, girls, boys, adults, everybody, change the direction you're going in. Change your direction. Change your direction upwards. Change your direction to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then tomorrow night, after a day of thinking that I want to change my direction, you'll be able to cry that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash to help me change my direction. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we'll be able to say, give us back the Beis HaMikdash. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Take us back, and then v'nashuva, we will all change. We'll change the way we look. We'll change the way we think. We'll change the way we dress. We'll change everything for you. But Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Give us back the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll come back to you. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam should help. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam should listen to what we think now, at this point in time, and bring us the Gula Shleima B'Mehera.